this is the takeaway. You know, it hasn't been all that long since whooping cough was one of the leading causes of death for young children in the United States. But
American history was filled with infectious disease as part of its history.
Absolutely. And you know, the race for vaccines, it was an urgent thing. And the people who developed them were heroes because they were protecting millions of people from the diseases that had killed them.
They lure us into a sense of simplicity, though, that it's simply a vaccine and then it's over. It vanishes.
Right. Then it's gone forever. And that's kind of what's happened here.
My primary care doctor told me that whooping cough isn't, we don't see it anymore. It's a disease of the past, and that it's just not out there.
That's Mariah Bianchi. Her son died of whooping cough in California in 2005. She was recently speaking on KQED, a public radio station in San Francisco, about her son who passed away because of whooping cough. There is an outbreak of whooping cough in California, and it has now reached epidemic levels. 5 infants have died this year there, and another 910 people are confirmed to have gotten the illness. Meanwhile, officials in Utah warn that the whooping cough outbreak could be headed their way towards the east. Joining us now is Dr. Richard Wenzel, the past president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases. Dr. Wenzel is currently a professor of internal medicine at Virginia Commonwealth University and a friend of this program. You spoke with us many times about the outbreak of the H1N1 flu.
Yes, I did. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's talk about this outbreak of whooping cough in California. I imagine that for many people, they didn't think they'd be hearing whooping cough and epidemic levels ever again. But children are dying there. I want to play one more clip for you, again from Mariah Bianchi, who spoke to KQED in California.
He just deteriorated so fast. We got to the hospital on a Monday morning, and by Tuesday, he had a breathing tube in and wasn't breathing on his own. By Wednesday, his kidneys failed. His heart was failing. They thought he had sepsis. They didn't know what they were treating. They didn't know what it was. They transferred him to UCSF for more advanced therapy on Wednesday afternoon, which he didn't tolerate and basically went into cardiac arrest.
And how old was he when Dylan died?
17 days old.
So Dr. Wenzel, with whooping cough, again, as I said, being one of the leading causes of disease, of death for children in America not all that long ago, now we're at this place where the hospital didn't even recognize what it was. Does that surprise you?
No, unfortunately, when we have a reduction in the number of cases, any one clinician might have limited experience unless we have an outbreak such as what we're going on in California.
So, you know, the health officials in California are pointing to the lack of vaccinations as the cause of the outbreak. Do you buy that?
I think that's a key thing. There are a number of reasons why people don't get vaccinated today, but that's our best way to go. And to put it in perspective, until recently, we just don't see too much. But globally, the World Health has said, look, there are 50 million cases every year with 300,000 deaths worldwide. So we've been fortunate in this country to have vaccines. We just need to use them.
Well, let's examine why we're not using vaccinations. What, do we know why people are not getting their kids vaccinated?
To me, there are probably at least 4 barriers. One is certain complacency. As public health controls an epidemic, people get relaxed. They haven't seen it before, and they say, well, who needs that? And the second is some sort of ignorance or language barrier, as we have more both legal and illegal aliens and low socioeconomic classes. They may not have the family training to get the vaccine. A third is there are concerns that some people have about side effects. You've heard a lot about autism and neurologic side effects with vaccines, and it's worse in the UK, where they show movies of these terribly neurologically impaired adults and blame it on the vaccine without any data. And the fourth, we have to face it in this country. There's a national distrust of large institutions, including the government. And we saw some of this with H1N1, where it was delayed interest in taking the vaccine. And then when CDC promised the vaccine and didn't deliver it until late in the year, now we have tens of thousands of doses unused. So this sort of general distrust of government, I think, is a fourth factor.
You know, you can go to Ellis Island, Dr. Wenzel, and see the way that immigrants were sort of herded into pens and separated for health reasons, largely. How difficult is it politically to raise the issue of immigration as a vector for infectious disease in the 21st century?
I would think it's formidable, particularly in this divided Congress that we have today, where there's almost no way that one group seems to be able to talk to another group. They just seem to oppose the other view. So I think it could be a very heated political issue.
And Dr. Wenzel, there's also reports of an outbreak of meningitis in Colorado, and their health officials are also pointing to a lack of vaccines as the real cause why the meningitis is spreading. But it seems to me that would be a different issue because they don't regularly vaccinate for meningitis.
No, I've said for actually 2 decades since we've seen this, particularly in institutions. I work in a university. My own view is that all college students ought to get the meningococcal vaccine. This is a deadly disease. It is preventable. We house these young people in tight quarters, 3, 4, 5 or more in a small dormitory complex or even more sometimes. We know that recruits, until they got the vaccine regularly in the military, would be subjected to just these small clusters of 5, 10 a year per base. This is something I just think has to be really pushed a lot harder.
It seems to me, Dr. Wenzel, although you mentioned the fear that people have in connecting vaccines to things like autism, many of the health officials in California and in the West say that's not as involved here as they would have expected, that really it's people who either delay getting vaccines, they're not as worried about it, and the fear that would drive them to stay up on vaccinations is not there.
Well, I think so. This is whenever public health controls the problem, not only the public health authorities sometimes divert these resources somewhere else, but also people get too relaxed, too complacent. And I think the combination can be obviously deadly.
Including doctors who sometimes say you don't need to get this particular vaccine, don't worry about it.
That's really unfortunate, and that shouldn't happen.
Okay, Dr. Richard Wenzel, friend of the show, past president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases. He's also currently a professor of internal medicine at Virginia Commonwealth University. He's talking about an outbreak at epidemic levels of whooping cough in California.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.